This will come as absolutely no surprise to you, but there are people who do not believe in God. If you engage them in a conversation about it, they may give you a number of reasons that they don't believe in God, but there are three classic things that people often say, and perhaps you have even struggled with some of these yourselves. All three of these are barriers to faith. And they are in no particular order. Number one, how could a loving God allow suffering in the world? Number two, Christians are hypocrites. Number three, the Bible is outdated and science has proved it. I want to deal with all three of those one at a time, and today we're starting with the first one. There was a British film, and in the film there was a young brother and a sister whose cat became sick. They were desperate, and they prayed and prayed that God would help the cat get well, but of course the cat died, and they were heartbroken. They had questions, confusion. They went to see their pastor, and they asked their pastor in tears, "Why did God allow our cat to die?" And the pastor launched into a long, elaborate, theological answer to their question. The children listened. They remained still. They took it all in. They did not interrupt him. And they thanked him and they left. And on the way home, the boy said to his sister, "Well, I guess the minister doesn't know either, does he?" He doesn't. That's part of our dilemma. Even if someone completely understands the mind of God, they cannot explain it. And even if you and I understood the mind of God, we would still walk away feeling as if we do not have all the answers. The question is still choking us through our tears. Why? 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 Why me? Why now? Why this? Why do bad things happen to good people? How can a loving God allow so much suffering in this world? These are among life's most difficult questions, but they also become very personal questions for us. There are famines. There are earthquakes. There are storms that change lives. There are wars. There is destruction that change lives. People lose their jobs. They suffer. People have life-changing diseases. They suffer. People lose a loved one to a drunk driver. They suffer. Families are torn apart by divorce. They suffer. Children bring guns to school and kill one another. These are hard realities. These are disturbing realities. But when they happen to you, they become even more tragic, more horrific, more personal, more disabling. How could a loving God allow so much suffering in this world? And underlying all of that is that big word, why? Here is a worldwide phenomenon. When children develop their language skills, they begin to experiment with two words, no and why. Both of those words expose a prime condition that's inside of all of us, a driving desire to be independent and a driving desire to have knowledge. Now, a child may ask why, because they're curious. Why is the sky blue? Why do dogs bark? Why are there clouds in the sky? Or maybe they ask why because they want to try to get out of doing something that they don't really want to do. Why do I have to take a bath? Why do I have to get dressed? Why do I have to eat string beans? It's like a Chinese water torture, isn't it? Just over and over. Why this? Why? And no matter what answer you give to them, there is another response. Why? I remember driving my father crazy with that question one time. And he shut me up with one question. He said, why is why a why? I didn't know what to do with that. You and I are no longer children, but you and I still say no, and we still ask why. But the father that we are interrogating is not our earthly father, it's Jehovah God. No, God. Why, God? We're no longer in an acute phase of life. We should know better than to say no to God and ask God why. Lee Strobel was an atheist. But Lee Strobel became a believer in Jesus Christ. And he is now a prolific author of about 20 books. And he's a speaker around the world. Lee Strobel commissioned a survey to be taken of people. And this was in the survey. What question would you like to ask God? And I'll bet you can guess what the number one question was. Why is there suffering in this world? There are multiple answers to that question. But sadly, none of those answers completely answer the question for us. There's only one way to get a definitive answer to that question, and that is to become God. The devil would love for you to try to do that. And in fact, the devil tempted Adam and Eve to try to do just that. But we are not God. All we can do is attempt to bring some kind of a closure to this question, this difficult question in our lives. Let's start with this question. Are there any good reasons for suffering? When you're confronting the dilemma of suffering, some people conclude that either God does not care or God is not powerful enough to stop it. And even worse, some people come to the conclusion that God does not exist at all. In fact, that's the easiest way out for them. Just erase God. And that takes care of the whole question. Move on. And tucked away in all that reasoning is something that they probably do not even realize is at play. Pride. Pride. They have an enormous faith in their own cognitive abilities. They say if a good, loving, powerful God exists, then he would not allow pointless suffering in this world. But pointless suffering does exist, so God must not exist. There's a fallacy in that thinking. Just because they declare that the suffering is pointless does not make it pointless. Just because they declare that God does not exist does not make that true. Just because they or you or I cannot see or imagine a good reason why God might allow something to happen does not mean that there cannot be a good reason for it. God created everything to be perfect. The devil rebelled. And then he led Adam and Eve to rebel. God intended to walk very closely with us, but that rebellion created a separation, a giant gulf, and the devil lives in that separation, and he is the instigator of all of the suffering that is inside that separation where we are. The devil is responsible for all of that suffering. I hope you know the book of Job. I hope you understand what God said to us in the book of Job, that he allows the devil to come in and torment. But he would not do that himself. The devil is the one who is responsible. God created gravity to hold things together. The devil uses gravity to cause us to fall down and hurt ourselves. God created water to give us life on the planet. The devil uses water to destroy property, and he uses water to destroy life. Suffering does not nullify God's love. Suffering does not diminish God's power. But the devil uses it to maintain that divide between you and our Lord. And you know what really ticks the devil off? It really ticks him off when some people suffer and it draws them closer to God. How could that be? That does happen. It happens. Sometimes it happens to the one suffering. More often it happens to one who is a loved one of one suffering. Or it may even happen to someone they do not know, because of a testimony or a story that they heard or something they observe. It's in those settings that it becomes obvious that suffering is not always pointless. God can use it for good. Pain. Let's talk about pain. Pain is considered to be a form of suffering, right? I vote for that. Pain is a form of suffering. But what would happen if we felt no pain? What if you could not feel the pain of the fire? That fire could injure you irreparably. That fire could kill you. You need to feel the pain of fire so that you know when not to touch it. If you have pain in your body, it could be a warning. A warning to you rather than something that is killing you. It may feel like it is only suffering, but it may be sending you a message. A message that can preserve your life. The point is that pain and suffering are not always pointless. We just cannot sort it out. Our spiritual eyes have limitations. We can't understand it. Even some of the Bible's greatest figures struggled with this. Jeremiah said this in chapter 15, verse 18. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? Will you, Lord, be to me like a deceptive brook? Like a spring that fails? By the way, God answered Jeremiah in the next verse. God said, if you repent, I will restore you, that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not unworthy words, you will be my spokesman. That brings us to sin. Jeremiah sinned, and God said, repent. I think we all understand that in the grand scheme of things, suffering is the result of original sin and fallen mankind. But do we realize that suffering can be caused by our sinful behavior? Behavior. Sinful behavior often leads to suffering and destruction and to pain. For instance, out of control anger. That's sin. And it can lead to all kinds of suffering in people all around you. Alcohol addiction, not alcohol. Alcohol addiction is sinful. It also causes suffering, and it causes pain. It destroys people. The same is true of adultery. The same is true of lying and many other sins. The fact is that probably 95% of the suffering in the world could be traced back to sinful behavior in mankind. Yet, even when we are reaping what we are sowing, we still want to blame God. Here's yet another thing. Sometimes people suffer because they are being disciplined. Proverbs 3:11-12. Do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. As a father, the son he delights in. Why do parents discipline their children? Because they care enough and they love enough to want to help them mature. And God does exactly the same thing to his children. Hebrews 12:11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. A familiar phrase comes to my mind, no pain, no gain. How could a loving God allow such pain? Because he loves us enough to discipline us. Here's another answer to the big question for today. 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. God builds faith. The devil brings faith down. God builds your faith, and the devil destroys your faith. Have you ever read the instructions on a liquid medication that says shake well before using? Well, sometimes God has to shake you up a little bit in order to purify you. And here's another answer. And this one might not sound all that wonderful to a skeptic, but it sounds right on to someone who knows God. Sometimes suffering exists to bring glory to God. John 9:1-3, as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Do you remember Jesus' answer? He said, neither one. This happens so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And then he healed the guy. He said something similar about the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. It was to glorify God. Well, sometimes we can know the reason for suffering, and often we cannot. Sometimes answers come to us immediately, and sometimes answers come after a long period of time. Sometimes they don't come at all. And frankly, there may be many, many times on this side of heaven that we do not understand. Our subject today, regardless of all that, how do we cope? How do we cope? You are probably familiar with the five stages of grief. They are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Denial, this can't be happening to me. Anger, why is this happening to me? Bargaining, oh Lord, please don't let this happen to me. Depression, this is happening to me. And acceptance, this is happening to me. We need to accept the fact that suffering is part of life. And suffering can be the consequence of sin itself. John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. One of the greatest testimonies in all of Scripture is given to us through the lips of Job in chapter 1, verse 21. Naked I came into this world in my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. What a testimony. May the name of the Lord be praised in all that he lost. His wife said, curse God and die. And Job said, shall I accept good from God and not trouble? You've probably heard of Pebble Beach, California. There's a famous golf course there. But Pebble Beach is famous for something more than golf. It's famous for the little stones, round, polished, beautiful pebbles that wash up on the beach. And people come from all around to collect them. How did those stones get that way? They got that way because the unforgiving waves would crash them and hurl them and grind them into the cliff. And the seekers who came to collect those stones could appreciate the positive results of those suffering stones. But they can fail to see the positive results in human life when God takes it in his hands and shakes it up. By the way, just around the corner from Pebble Beach, there is a quiet little cove. It's sheltered from the waves. And in that cove, there are also countless pebbles. But nobody is admiring them. And nobody is seeking them. Nobody is collecting them because they're rough and they're angular and they're not beautiful. Because they're protected from the waves. We should never minimize suffering when we see it, but we should always remember that there is a God perspective. There is a God perspective in everything, which we may not be able to see. So, brothers and sisters, I invite you, I urge you, stand on the solid rock, plant your feet, anchor yourself on Jesus Christ. And remember this, he was willing to accept pain and suffering for you. Let us pray. Lord, by your grace, may we utter the words of Job and say, may the name of the Lord be praised. May the name of the Lord be praised. And Lord, we pray to you again, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.